This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Mic check, 1, 2. Welcome out to Hip Hop Grew Up number 20.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat tonight. The Yak.
I think everyone that listened to us, like you said, is probably paying at this point.
I can't quite hear you, but I can hear me real clean.
Uh-oh.
But I guess once you stop that banging intro beat, I'll hear you just fine.
Let's see. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, of course.
There we go.
What's up, sir?
What is up, man? It's been a long time. We as educators have taken the first of our only break besides, Thanksgiving and Christmas. But
you got the whole summer, though. It's my first time without them 10 weeks, man.
I don't have the whole summer.
No? Oh, yeah. You working like crazy.
I'm working.
I'm tripping. So
I'm working. Shout out to everyone from Breakthrough Central Texas and all the Breakthrough after school and summer programs all over the nation.
You working this week, too?
Yeah.
Oh, I got more off time than you.
Yes, you do.
I was off last week and this week. Went to Grand Rapids. Went to Orlando.
What?
Went to Longview, Texas. I'm about to go to San Antonio.
Man. Oh, you're doing Avid.
I've been on many planes and a Greyhound. No Amtrak yet.
Babu's on an educational tour, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I always wanted to be on tour. There it is.
This is the path.
But yeah, it's 2 weeks, but next week go back and it's going to be crazy. So shout out to Cultural Proficiency and Inclusiveness, the squad, the team at Austin ISD.
Nice.
If y'all ain't listening.
And shout out to Babu for putting up these professional developments on just culturally relevant and social equitable things that we don't get at other PDs. Other PDs like, hey, how to boost your test scores, or how do you get them
different.
To listen to you? This is like, hey, how do I get along with people from different cultures?
Remember when I was trying to explain that when I had first accepted the job and I was like, so it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But now it's like super clear.
Yes.
So it's dope, man.
Congratulations, you guys. Educators, please be on the lookout for the PDs created by Mr. Babu Blakes. Where can they find those?
They can find those on austinisd.org/CPI. You can contact me directly, mr.blakes@gmail.com.
Yeah.
It's a team. I'm just part of it. You know, okay. I help create some of it, but I haven't created anything in isolation, just to be clear. But, you know, I do put my little special sauce on it. You've seen what I do. And so I'm actually enjoying learning about creating a whole thing and then getting to go and kind of continue to have that Avid experience where it's like 3 days, 50-page syllabus and whatnot.
Nice.
And then we come back to work and it's like 4 or 5 pages, so I can really, you know, deliver a quality session, man. But it's different because, you know, there's a lot of sit and gets.
Yeah.
There's a lot of professional development. And for anybody who's not in the education world, it's like where teachers and other educators are supposed to get their education and then take it back with inspiration and new tools and new strategies and stuff like that back to their job in a way that impacts kids. We do it differently because we're really focusing on the personal learning of each participant. And so, you know, we really dig into, you know, what we call essential questions. And we really give them like 3 main, you know, activities that they need to do. And, you know, we talk about things like race, you know, and things like you, all the other words that you named, you know. And so it's just really different and unique and similar to the classroom. We really make them work, really make them think hard, really make them do the heavy lifting the deeper we go into each session. And typically these are all day, you know, like 6 hours.
Dope.
So it's pretty crazy, man. But it's enjoyable and it's different because you and I have sat through professional development so many times.
Yeah, you know, if you're a teacher, what happens the first 2 or 3 weeks of school before you ever get kids is that most districts make you go and, you know, listen to other experts talk. With if you're a math teacher, you listen to math people talk about how to, you know, listen to them talk on how they get their math things on. But once in a while, you'll get a really good presenter that won't do that much talking, but you'll actually be doing activities and being like, oh, wow, I'm actually doing the things that I could be, you know, working on in the classroom. Like, whatever they're preaching you is part of the practice that you're going to give the students.
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
And those are the great professional developments or PDs, but there's also PDs where, all right, and it's people pretending like it's 1995 and are showing a PowerPoint and talking over the words on the PowerPoint.
Yeah, I call it worst practices.
Those are the worst practices. So
worst practices.
It's good to see some good PDs out there, especially by yours, by Mr. Blake's.
Yeah.
From right here, yours truly, Hip Hop Grew Up. Mm-hmm. So shout out to all the teachers making those PD rounds. Try to pay attention if it's worth it. Last time we recorded a show, the mics were messed up. We didn't get a good recording, and there's a lot of things we talked about. But now we can speak with a clear and fresh tongue.
That's crazy, too, because we've been in the studio together for 20 least, years.
Yeah.
You know, off and on, and I think that's the only time that's ever happened.
I'm pretty good with getting the mics going, but something was weird.
Y'all should have seen this guy looking all apologetic. I'm like, dude.
We did. One we recorded a whole like years. 1 hour session, and it was great and amazing. And we're like, "Oh, it's gonna be awesome!" And I go look at the file, and it was all janky. So now I'm glad that it's coming out clean. I'm knock on wood that nothing goes bad. But one thing that we talked about last time was the death of Bushwick Bill, Ghetto Boy member, originally from New York,
Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Yeah, just a guy that you would see. Obviously, the Ghetto Boy shows, but you always see sometimes around Houston a lot. I remember he came to the studio a couple times, but he passed away, man, and it hit a lot of people. A lot of people our age, and I'm just saying like 30s and up, people who listen to Ghetto Boys at a young age. That was a regional hero, an international hero for a lot.
Yeah, I mean, what Texas rap stars existed before the Ghetto Boys?
Not many, guys. I guess you're right. That's the pioneers of Texas hip-hop.
I'll add up every major rap star from Texas before the Ghetto Boys. Ready?
Go.
There you have it.
The first ones.
Done.
Cultural pioneers.
Done. You know? So it's crazy. So, you know, we represent on this show, Hip-Hop Grew Up, the original generation. And good grief, the Ghetto Boys, it gets no more original.
I know.
I sit alone in my, you know, and the rest auto-populates. It's like that. Man. So, yeah, he's gone. Announced he had stage 4 cancer. They announced that they were going on a farewell tour, and then they announced it. He wasn't doing it anymore. So, that was done. And, man, it's interesting to see also what his bandmates are doing.
Yes.
Of course, you know, Scarface.
Scarface, you know, someone I work with at Breakthrough said she went to Essence Festival.
Yeah. I love that event.
And hung out with Scarface. And I was like, did you know he's running for Houston City Council? Mm-hmm. She said, no, I didn't know. And I go, man, I wish I would have known. I would have asked him. I wish I would have asked him too. But that's what's happening. And this is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Scarface, on the other member from the Ghetto Boys, he's running for Houston City Council.
Yeah, I would say he is the, you know, the consensus GOAT MC of Texas.
He is. He's kind of very well respected, not just because he's one of the first to do it, because, you know, some people who are the first to do things aren't necessarily, like, the best at it.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the best. Cool. He's pretty much, like, definitely lyrical top five.
Yeah, you've never seen a better career from a Texas MC that I can think of. Never seen a better career. What do you think?
Career, it depends what you mean by career. Like record sales, number one hits, there's a different...
Anything that will get you in the Hall of Fame. So we're talking like, who is Air Jordan in Texas rap? Who has five rings, blah, who turns teams of... mediocre players into stars, Face Mob, and such. My Homies album produces Devin the Dude and many more. Who else could be Michael Jordan as far as their career of rapping from Texas?
I think just Brad Jordan.
Yeah, I feel like... Wait, let me count them up
real quick. Which is Scarface, by the way.
I'll count them up real quick. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go. And there you have it. So, wow, for city council, it's pretty controversial a little bit. Like, not controversial like I need to go on social media and post against it. but controversial in terms of Brad Jordan. You know, he's a pretty complex individual from what I understand.
Yeah. I got to know him a little bit. He was, mm-hmm. you know, I've always been DJing the clubs, and he was friends with several club owners and come hang out, and he wouldn't be Scarface. He would be Brad and would be at Lake Travis, you know, on a jet ski kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I heard he's also really good on the golf course too.
Wow.
So he plays a lot of golf. I think I caught him last year at an Astros game, but he definitely represents the city pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people respect him. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's going into local politics makes a lot of sense. And I see him getting support from all sides of the community.
But let me just jog your memory for a second. Yeah. Who could you more easily see entering politics by a mile than Scarface? Who would be the most logical MC, right? Who I should have probably put on that list earlier when I was saying Scarface was so undisputed. But anyway.
No, because I think there's different ways of saying what is the best MC. Because the best MC could be like different rap accolades. Mm-hmm. Hands down, Scarface, right?
Or yeah. Around the world, I think some people would put
Slim Thug could be up there.
Nah. I don't think so. Slim Thug? Nah, I don't think so. But back to my question, and this will tell you who else.
Financially?
No, not even that. Just period.
Successful?
So.
It's different.
Who is the most likely Texas rapper to go into politics and be a politician? Who is the Texas rap politician?
Bumpy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's somebody who probably could be close to that same status as what I was saying about Scott.
Yeah, and Bumpy would be a very fair person. I think he's the first rapper to get his own. No, it's Trey Day. I'm sorry. It was Trey and then him. Hmm. They got their own city day by the city of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bun would be a great one.
Yeah. I mean, you can see that. You haven't seen Face politicking like you've seen Bun politicking. But nonetheless, that would be a great look for Houston, Texas. And it the is. Only way, right, that a GOAT MC from Texas, mm-hmm. from the pioneering group of Texas rap, from Rap-A-Lot Records, ends up running for city council, there's only one way that becomes possible. And that's when hip-hop grew up.
Yeah. I think for a lot of places, it has grown.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in places that have supported that, you know, that group, that person for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And what if another dude from the same group was also running for city council? Like, how crazy would that be?
That'd be pretty wild.
It's true. Willie D.
Willie D's also running for city council?
Yes.
Fifth Ward? That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Did you know that?
I did not know.
They're both running for city council in the wake of Bushwick Bill's passing. In the wake of Jay Prince's respect book, you know, in the past year or so.
Yeah.
Willie D has put his name in a different district of Houston, mm-hmm. to run for city council as well at the same time. Crazy.
That is crazy. You want to know what happened too?
What's up?
Speaking about Rap-A-Lot.
Give it to me.
So his son is very active in the nightclubs, Baby J.
Willie D?
Baby J. Jay Prince's son.
Oh, the one that signed Drake and all of that?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jazz Prince?
Yeah. That's one of the three, but there's one little one named Baby J.
Oh.
And the new Drake song, I guess, with Rick Ross, kind of shouts them all out on the mm-hmm. first verse.
Mm-hmm.
They just love hearing that.
Yeah.
They just love, like, yo, play it again. It's like, yes, sir.
You know? He likes hearing Drake.
They like hearing that.
How old is Baby J? Probably 30 or something?
Baby J's probably, like, in his 20s. And those other guys are in their 30s, the older brothers, for sure.
That's crazy. And they're all ballers and shot callers, I would imagine. You're talking about
$100,000 cars, for sure. Having a great time.
Yeah.
But it just shows how long... I mean, if Ghetto Boys are the oldest rap group, then Rap-A-Lot Records is definitely the oldest rap label in Texas.
Yeah. And
it's still very significant.
Right. Because they may not be the oldest label. I'm sure somebody started a label.
Pooh. I'm sorry.
Rudy Pooh Records, and we didn't know,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are the...
they're still very significant to this day.
Yeah.
In the music industry. And they were the all over the
first
world.
Significant, you know, the first folks just major that people just know everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And now you got kids who I've never even heard of with $100,000 cars.
Yeah, and they got new artists, and you know, it's still perpetuating.
Richer than a lot of Rap-A-Lot artists.
It's a grown-up version, right? It's a new second generation. You know, kids who probably went to private school or, you know, beautiful, well man. Affluent.
That's what I've heard about Willie D's son, is that he's a very intelligent, different type kid because, you know, he didn't grow up like Willie D. Mm-mm. Yeah, I'll have to bring Matt back to discuss that. He was telling me how interesting, you know, the generational, the folks that inherit those thrones, mm-hmm. you know. They grow up in a circumstance where, you know, dad wants son to have different, you know, we can relate. I didn't grow up like super hard knock or whatever, but you're always trying to push your legacy forward by cultivating this new genius version of yourself. You know?
Exactly. Like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, right? Yeah. That's the whole story is supposed to be around Quincy Jones and his family and how they felt being in Beverly Hills. The same thing.
Yeah, I thought it was about Benny Medina.
Okay. That too. Yeah.
But yes, a mogul. In the music industry, right.
Moving from Houston to another mogul in New York City, Jay-Z has a book coming out called Made in America.
Yes, right? A book by...
None other than...
Michael Eric Dyson, Georgetown professor, loves hip-hop. Hilarious guy. Perfect balance between corny dude and preacher man and superb hip-hop scholar and just political theorist, Michael Eric Dyson. And he's putting out a book, and he said it's about Jay-Z kind of past to present. Mm-hmm. And he does nothing if not drop epic work. He wrote Born to Use Mics about Nas once upon a time. Mm-hmm. And shout out to the pay raises, 4-7% at that district where we were until recently. Let me jump back on.
Yeah, we're bouncing around. We'll get to that. We're
going bouncing around. So...
Michael Eric Dyson, Jay-Z book, Made in America.
He describes it on his own Twitter. It examines Jay's hustling past and present, his poetic genius, and his political engagement. Lots of fresh interpretations of Jay's thought and career. You can pre-order the book today. Thanks. I will. On Amazon.
All right.
Michael Eric Dyson, Jay-Z's Made in America, which is also the name of his festival.
Dope.
In Philadelphia. Budweiser. Woo, woo, woo. I'm going to buy it. My new job, I get to order stuff like that, you know.
All the time.
Yeah, with OPM.
Nice.
Other people's money. Just to stay up on it. It says there's a foreword by Pharrell, so you get to hear from Pharrell first. Speaking of bouncing around. And Jay-Z. I bring up Jay-Z and Nas all the time in one particular context. And that is let me take a step back to say, take a step forward. The best hyperbole I could draw from it is Jay-Z and Nas are like today's equivalent, if you go with me here, of Frederick Douglass and Malcolm X, which sounds crazy on purpose. Because Frederick Douglass is somebody who's born into slavery and ends up invited to your boy, Abraham Lincoln's White House, right? By the end of his life. Yeah. And Malcolm X, of course, you know, grew up under activists, ministers, educators, international, you know, philosophers and whatnot, and eventually fell into the street life. But the reason I bring up Malcolm X and Frederick Douglass is because both of them give really unique accounts in their autobiographies of how important to their liberation and who they are and who we know them to be. They say that one of the most crucial things about their life stories are when they really learn to read.
Yeah.
Frederick Douglass's version says, I was enslaved, but I had bread, meaning like actual bread. So he would find the poorest white kids he could and offer them bread in exchange for reading lessons, which tells you how important reading is if people who had nothing to eat still knew how to read. Right?
Yes.
So that's the Frederick Douglass version. I'll leave it at that because it's short and sweet. And then Malcolm X says, I didn't really, really, really know how to read like critically until I got locked up as Detroit Red, like hustling. I got locked up and I just read the dictionary and really starting to work on my penmanship and really starting to work on my literacy because I couldn't really call myself intelligent unless I was doing that. So what does that have to do with Jay-Z and Nas, in your opinion?
They're like the hip hop. It's like hip hop grew up, right? They're the hip hop generation. They're just they want to make sure that the resources for the next generation is there, or the knowledge is there, or some kind of tip to make the next generation have it easier. And I'm not saying it will be easier, but just, you know, have some knowledge before they go out and become adults themselves.
Right. And it's like, Jay-Z did not graduate high school.
No.
Nas did not finish middle school. His father advised him to just stop going because it's not giving you anything, right?
And it made sense, like, you know, just because we're educators and in certain areas that don't have the resources that other places have. And this is like, what, late 80s, early 90s, New York, right? Queens, New York, I'm sorry. Pre-gentrified Queens, New York, I should say. And I don't think, you know, the environment might not have been safe for Nas and his brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so the dad said, nuh-uh, you ain't going to school there.
And now in 2019, when you bring up a Nas or Jay-Z, anybody remotely familiar with these names, the first thing that comes to their mind is savvy, intelligent, wealthy, multiple streams of income, multiple types of businesses. Like, Nas is dropping a children's book called I Know I Can.
And if you think about it, for the current generation, because that song came out in about 2002, 2003, this is the first song they know. For people who are 20 years old right now, this is probably the first song, one of the first rap songs they know. I Know I Can be One I Want to Be. That's his single.
So he's dropping that books. Clothing line called History, record label called Mass Appeal, where he's finding little known artists, right? And giving them that platform as Nas, right?
Yeah.
All this from a middle school drop, selling apps, like, just, I'm not going to say self-educated, but when you don't have formal education, but you still do what needs to be done to be fully educated. In a way that far exceeds people with multiple degrees, blah, blah, blah. I feel like it's the same concept of self-education that Frederick Douglass and Malcolm X wrote about in their autobiographies. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But imagine if they were to have a single.
Who, Frederick Douglass?
Or Malcolm X?
Oh, they got singles. Because Alex Haley, same guy that wrote Roots, wrote the autobiography of Malcolm X. I don't think that book's ever been out of print. And Spike Lee interpolated it into a film. So that's a single, right?
Yeah.
And then Frederick Douglass, we just had July 4th, and he once gave a speech about what is the 4th of July for the Negro? And I'm sure you saw a million people posting it, right? So they got singles. They got classics. They got bars. You're right.
And just the media was different.
Yeah, because but I understand what
you mean.
Yeah. Right. Writing. Right?
Still writing. Still reading.
Exactly. 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 And these guys, I saw, have you seen Hamilton?
Heard all the songs.
Okay, I saw it the other day, and one phrase.
You're a very lucky person.
Yeah, one phrase that stuck with me was, "I wrote my way out." I think that's what Jay-Z and Nas did. They wrote their way out and wrote their way into, you know, education, which is way more important than school, as you and I know. But I just want to make that point that when I think of their names, I always think of Jay-Z, Nas over on this side. Frederick Douglass, Malcolm X on this side. Not because they're revolutionaries in the same way, but because at the center of what makes them great is the capacity for self-education and learning how to read the world as is necessary for what they need to live and be super great, like straight legends.
It's even, but like, they are as great as those two, like, orators and writers. But it's even crazier because those two people, Malcolm X, Frederick Douglass, they didn't grow up in the same era or time. And these people did. And they even dissed each other.
Hard.
They even wrote songs like hating each other.
Yep.
And, you know, later on grew up, decided that they need to put that stuff aside and just kind of help out the youth or help out their community. I think that's awesome.
And get money together. It's a beautiful thing.
Also, Jay-Z not. I remember one time Jay-Z signed Nas.
Yeah.
To his imprint and Def Jay-Z. Jam at the time. Yeah, yeah, Def Jam at the time, and now Jay-Z is signing
one of his original mentors. I mean, the only thing he could do that would be more crazy.
The guy who gave him his name.
Right? The only thing that would be crazier is if he signed like Big Daddy Kane. But yeah, Jay-Z, it was announced. It was announced that Jazzo is signed to Roc Nation, at least for distribution, which is crazy. Jazzo's probably 59,000 years old, with all due respect. And after all the time that they spent dissing each other, you know, not getting along, you just made the point of Jay-Z and Nas being able to reconcile. And apparently Jay-Z and Jazzo have reconciled to the point that I can at least, like, dude, I own, like, Tidal and this and that and this and that. Here's a distribution, man. I'm sorry. Let's roll.
Yeah. No more bad blood.
Nah.
And a lot of people don't know who Jazzo is.
At all.
You have to be, like, a really weird, like, you have to be intensely into 90s hip-hop to know what the heck we're talking about.
You gotta be the first of the first generation.
Like, I know because I'm a DJ, and we're always looking for the oldest Jay-Z record, and it's Hawaiian Sophie with Jazzo.
Yeah, he was the hype man
for the DJ. Jazzo.
Yeah, he was the guy in the background on the videos for the Originators, Hawaiian Sophie. Hawaiian Sophie, he was just kind of the side guy. And Originators, they actually rapped together. But that was a long time ago.
But if you think about it, it's still... all the new rappers come under old rappers. It's not anything different.
And Jay-Z came up under Big Daddy Kane and Jazzo, and Jazzo produced Jay-Z's first hit and sang the hook on it.
Which one?
Featuring Foxy Brown.
Yeah, that's right.
The song that kept him in the game. Like, that one. Yeah, that's Jazzo singing the hook. Small world.
Nice.
I always got the random trivia. Right?
You do have the random hip hop trivia from the 1990s.
That's what happens when you read the source 1 billion times before the age of 21.
So we talked about Jay-Z. Nas has a book. I Know I Can. Let's bring it back to the education part of our show.
Yeah.
Shout out to one of my students. His name's Latrell McCutcheon. I was his 8th grade AVID teacher. Trail.
Oh, Tree's little brother.
Tree's little brother. Trail committed to Alabama.
Durong's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
He's related to Sixth Street Bully.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he's part of the 2020 class or 2021 class that's going to go ahead to Alabama.
His brother was homecoming king at Maynard High.
Okay.
So he went to Maynard Middle?
Yeah, and his little brother, too. I taught them both.
Tree went to Decker.
I think the little brother's named Trey, and he's a running back, and... Their parents really, really push these guys because they're not at all bums in the class. These are very, very intelligent people.
These are Raina's boys.
Yeah. And
Juana's sister. Yeah.
I remember I was like, yo, Latrell, you know, you only missed one question on the star test.
Yeah.
Kind of things like that, you know, like just super highly intelligent. So
I had another one of his cousins in my class this year,
Micah Marshall.
So Micah Marshall, Octavius Berry, another one of their cousins was on that Connolly team that lost to Maynard in the playoffs. It's like they
Northeast Austin now is representing for sure.
And let me rewind a bit. On 2-4.
Okay.
One of their aunties, Juana Marshall.
Okay.
Was in one of the OG Austin rap groups called the Cooley Girls.
Oh, okay.
Her son is Duty, Durong.
Okay.
Nephew of Sixth Street Bully. So it's like on and on and on and on. But yeah, they're all related. And that's incredible. That's incredible. Because I know Latrell's big brother's at like, what, Howard Payne or one of those kind of schools. Mm-hmm. That boy's going to Bama.
He was always a beast, like throwing a football, catching a, you know what I'm saying? Like, and just super, like, on the book smart, man.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
The kid with a lot of confidence, but just amazing. So, shout out to the people in Northeast Austin, you know.
Getting it done.
Getting it done. Putting East Austin and Maynard on the map. LBJ on the map.
So playing no them. Games. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. He said LBJ, not Maynard High.
Right, yeah, right. I think he made an executive decision.
Yeah.
Speaking of executive decisions, Maynard ISD will have a new superintendent after the 2019-2020 school year. I just saw that. And shout out to all the teachers getting raises, though.
Yes.
All over the district.
Between 4.5% and 7%, which is something. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it is, man.
Let's say you make 60 grand, then you're going to get another, what, $4,000 a year, something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, about 3.5, 4.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad. Teachers deserve much, 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 much more than what they tend to get. But anything is plenty, man.
Yeah. What I would do is just be like, what was the rent the last time the raise went up? What's the average Austin rent? And then what's the average Austin rent now? And then see if that went up.
Cost of
living. And if it didn't, the cost of living, then I think you got screwed.
Yeah.
Simple mathematics, right?
Yeah.
I think the cost of living has definitely gone up. I don't know if it's... It feels to me like the cost of living is way more than 7%.
It's crazy. And so, I mean, I'm not a prophet or anything, but I think in the Netflix of education, teachers are going to start out about 75.
At least, man.
Starting.
Let's see. Oh, another thing. If you guys are curious on when we put, like, because a lot of times Babu and some of our friends will post educational articles related with hip hop. We put them on Hip Hop Grew Up. Check out our Facebook, Hip Hop Grew Up. If you want to add some posts that, you know, or share some things that are like along the same lines, holla at Babu, he'll add you on.
Right. And we need to know you're serious. So if you really want to be on that page and really see a whole lot of different posts related to things that's going on, like today it was talking about a guy using hip hop for his English dissertation or something. I'd have to look it up.
No, it's a University of Iowa student.
There you go. Give it to
me. He is going to Mexico City to teach English, and he's using hip hop to teach it.
There we go. If you want to know about all the evidence, because there's mountainous tons. There's a whole landfill of evidence. Landfill of evidence. Landfill. You got to tell me personally, hey, add me to the group, because it's closed. But if you really want that information, just hit me up. Bavu Blakes on Facebook, and I will add you instantly.
Hip Hop Grew Up Facebook posts are awesome. A couple of things I want to talk before we bounce. And one is, yo, A$AP Rocky's in jail in Sweden. And I don't know if you were, I don't know if you saw the videos or what, but it seemed like I saw it. I saw the video that apparently A$AP Rocky and another artist and their security guard were in Sweden. And they said they assaulted someone from a Swedish citizen, right? Then I think you see like Schoolboy Q and everyone else from the camp, you know, other people who are A$AP Rocky's friend are advocating for him and are posting videos. And you see the guy who is supposedly the one who got assaulted. He just like kind of like, it looks like he's starting shit with them. Like in the video, like he's like going up and just being like, hey, what? Hey, and then like just the security guard's like, yuck, man, stay away, please. Stay like repeatedly, like over 25, 30 times telling this gentleman to stay away. And he keeps coming at A$AP Rocky's people.
Okay.
I think at one point it gets kind of like, look, man, get away. And the guy's like pushing him with headphones. And the security guard just like gets a headphone and throws him on the ground. Like, look, man, get away. Like, I'm being serious. Stand back. It escalates. I think even A$AP Rocky's like, look, bro. Please stay away from us. Please. Like, we're on this side of the block. You keep coming on this side. They're like walking away and the guy keeps following them. And I think after like 20, minutes or something, then they start fighting. And I guess Swedish police arrive. They're in jail. They're saying that he's not getting treated right or something. But either way, there's, a young person of color in jail in Europe and, over something that would probably, like, if this probably happened on 6th Street, he'd be out the next morning. But he's in Sweden, so I don't know what the holdup is.
So A$AP Rocky himself put hands on this person.
Yeah, but I think that person kept putting hands on them repeatedly.
That's crazy. And A$AP Rocky.
There's video evidence, too. It's like, it's crazy.
That's another hip-hop grew-up story, because do you know who his manager is?
I do not.
His manager is Chase Infinite of Self Scientific, who not only is a original generation rapper in a group called Self Scientific, himself and DJ Khalil, who's definitely a major producer.
Well, from L.A., yeah.
Right. But Chase Infinite also owns a coffee shop in Leimert Park called Haroon Coffee, H-A-R-U-N Coffee. Like, it's a small coffee shop, like, where people just show up. Like, Big Boy showed up. I mean, Big Boy, Radio Big Boy. Rihanna showed up.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's a really major coffee shop.
L.A. And coffee shop?
So yeah. Picture, like, you know, it's a dude who worked a lot with DJ Muggs when they had Angelus Records. But somebody who a lot of people don't know about, Chase Infinite, right? Manages A$AP Rocky. I believe he manages, what's the dude? I wouldn't know. What's the dude's name? I think he's part of A$AP. Playboi Carti?
Playboi Carti.
Yes, them. So he probably manages the whole A$AP mob. But anyway, so I love to see that transition when you were like a kind of an OG in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't necessarily, you know, get the big fame or whatever, but you got the expertise and the wisdom and you can apply it. And then these youngsters are, you know, you're able to guide their careers.
Yes.
And all that to say, much respect to Chase Infinite. And I hope that everything's good with A$AP Rocky.
I'm pretty sure they're figuring it out.
Yeah. And
hopefully they're going to use this for some publicity to get even more bread. But I
was wondering if it was just like Illuminatious and there's an album coming. That would be a best case scenario.
But I did see Bun post like, yo, free A$AP. So
yeah.
They need a free Flacco. Boy Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really awesome show to come back, man.
How long have we been talking?
It's a good 45-minute show.
Get out of here. Without mentioning Travis Scott one time?
We haven't.
Or Toby?
No.
Or Megan?
No, that's what. You know what? I'm going to talk about all those three on Hip Hop Grew Up number 21. Yeah, there's a lot of cool things. And we got to talk about all the new NBA trades once they finally go down.
Oh, man. Kawhi.
Yeah, crazy. He's going back to LA.
Yeah.
We'll see what all that looks like because that's still. I don't know what's happening with Anthony Davis. There's a couple people that are still up in the air.
The NBA, man. You know, I won't really, 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 really pay attention until next year's finals.
We'll give you the scoop before that, y'all. Anyway, thanks for listening to Hip Hop Grew Up number 20. And check us out on Facebook.
Yeah, we got a Twitter.
Hip Hop Grew Up. Yeah, man.
Shout out to the Yak.
Shout out to the Yak. Peace. Bye, y'all.